This morning's scripture reading before Scott's lesson will be Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we also have such a large crowd of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that lay before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Good morning. Very good to be together this morning. A blessing. I know we have a few guests with us this morning. We're glad that you are with us. Hope that you'll come back and be with us again. This month, I focus on the subject of faith. Sometimes as regards to apologetics and evidence, or sometimes what the Bible describes as the faith that we as Christians should have. So I hope this message this morning is encouraging to you and helps us to put ourselves in the right direction. Brother Mark just read a scripture for us that talks about us always focusing, having that focus in the race. And if you ever had you ever been in a race, or as you remember as a kid running, I remember my football coach telling us that you will run faster, you will get there quicker, and you will be more effective if you have a focus when you are running. And that is absolutely true in my experience, and it is true spiritually as Christians. So we want to talk about our faith and where our focus is this morning. We want a faith that pleases God. People will endure things for a cause. Soldiers who go to war, they need that cause, that purpose for which they are fighting for. Christians continue because we have a cause and a purpose, a focus, something that we look forward to, something that we are striving to as we love the Christian faith and we love what it means to grow and to encourage others, to serve others, to pray with others. And we do not want to give that up. So this morning, as we think about our faith and what it is and what the scriptures say about it, I think we see right here that naturally when we observe people, we observe ourselves, we need a cause and a purpose. And when it comes to work, I think we focus more when we see there is a cause for this, a greater, a more meaningful meaning behind it. So I want you to look here. We're going to give some context before we get to Hebrews chapter 1 and look at verses 1 through 7, which will be our exposition this morning. But look in Hebrews chapter 10. It sets up the context here. And the writer of Hebrews says this, "For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property." Now, those that the writer is writing to here have been persecuted. And he says to them, you haven't lost any blood yet. No blood has been spilt. Can we imagine that today, being persecuted so that our homes are taken away or our property or something that we own is taken away? We'd feel very, very offended by that. We might see places in the world today where persecution is very much like that. He also says you had compassion on those who were in prison. Some of them have been imprisoned. In fact, Timothy is one of them that's mentioned at the end of the book of Hebrews in chapter 13, talks about Timothy being in prison. And so as you read these and you see what they're going through, he says, don't be led astray. Don't go off into any other teaching. I want to make sure that you have a firm foundation. Since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and abiding one. I just want to stop right there for a moment. From this section on, the Hebrew writer is focused on this. You know, a lot of different things that we think about when we think about eternal life. What comes to my mind automatically? I think about the resurrection, the new body. Some people think of paradise, and they read Revelation 21 and 22. Some people think of the perpetual idea of life unending. So different things come to our mind. But the Hebrew writer emphasizes there's an abiding possession, something that is better, that is coming for you. And that is his emphasis and focus throughout the text. This is what he says your faith should be hoping for, a better possession and abiding one. He says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence. Don't throw away your confidence, your certainty of faith. And we're going to talk more about that. Which has a great reward. There he is again talking about the reward. I remember as a kid and as a teenager thinking about this, I thought, am I serving God because I simply want eternal life, or am I serving him because I love him? And I thought, well, isn't it kind of selfish for me to want that? And I don't think it is. I think it is something that God has given to me and something that I should want because he's giving it to me. It's a promise that he has given. And if our focus is on that, if it becomes work-oriented where if I just do all these things, then I'll get this and God owes it to me, then I'm wrong, certainly. But the thinking here is God has a great reward for you, a possession, something better and wonderful, an abiding one. Therefore, don't throw it away. Therefore, endure. He says, for you have need of endurance. Well, haven't they been enduring? Imprisonment, plundering of their goods? He says, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. So you do have to do something, and it has to come from your faith. Your obedience comes from your faith. And the Hebrew writer emphasizes that throughout the whole book. Obedience comes from this source. So Christians must believe that God rewards those who seek him. In fact, as we read in Hebrews 11, the writer says, you can't please God unless you are seeking him and that you know that he rewards those who believe in him and follow him and obey him. You must believe that. I wonder if that goes out of our mind. We forget about the reward. We forget about the eternal possession of what God has given to us. But you have to believe that God is a rewarder. I think some people think of God and they think, well, he's just giving me all these laws to make me miserable, and that's all they might think about. Or this world is just filled with suffering and evil, and they forget that God has given us something far greater, that none of the suffering, none of the evil, none of the worst things you can possibly imagine that can happen to you in this life is comparable to what God is going to give us in the end. That ultimate victory that is in him, that encourages me. And it shows God's righteousness and his justice. You imagine a world where God has created us and put us, and here we have fallen into sin and there's suffering and death and evil, and then in the end we just simply disappear? Then we have a problem. But that's not our God. We believe in the God who rewards those who seek him, who seek after him, who strive for him. Faith in the hope to come is indispensable and invaluable when seeking God. I've got to have a faith, and it must have a hope that's a part of it. The two must go together. I can't hope unless I have a faith and a trust in God, and I can't believe. It'd be very hard to believe without there being some hope, some reward, some goodness, some righteousness that I see in the creator of the world, so I need to know more about him. It's indispensable, it's invaluable to have that hope and faith that's essential to seeking him. So what do you look forward to receiving from God because of your faith? What do you think about? Some would say, I just eternal life. Or some would say, one day I will die and my spirit will go and be with God and Christ in heaven. And we stop right there. But when I read the Bible, I don't see the writers just stopping and keeping it that simple. Well, I don't know much more about it because when I read Revelation 21 and 22, I start reading about the new heaven and new earth and Jerusalem ascending and the paradise and the trees in the garden. And I think, well, what part of that is literal and what part isn't? Well, I think we need to read and start finding out. There's some of these details that are certainly not symbolic, but real. To be in the presence and in the glory of God. Those things are the things that give us hope. This is what we believe in. This is what will compel us. So we want to think more about that. And the writer of Hebrews does that. Followers of Christ, we look forward to Christ coming back. I remember as a kid and as a teenager, I thought, when Jesus comes back, I don't know if I want him to come back. That's the way I thought. I want to live here, and I want to do what I want in this life. You can hear a lot of I and want and selfishness in that. But really what was behind it is, as a child, I didn't have a real good picture of what the reward that was coming from God and what it was. I hadn't shaped it. I hadn't understood it. And so the idea of Jesus coming back, I thought, I don't even know if I'm in the right side or the left, how God is going to treat me, or what the reward is. And so as Christians, we want to grow in that. We want to teach our children about that hope so they look forward to it and they don't have any misunderstanding about it. Look here in Hebrews 10, 37 and 39, again setting up the context for Hebrews 11. It says, for yet a little while and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. That passage from Habakkuk, and we have some mention mixed in here from Isaiah chapter 1 as well, of the hope that's coming, the coming one, that Christ is coming back. And that with faith, this is where we do have pleasure in this. Now, I want you to notice something else here. He contrasts the person who believes and the one who falls away. The writer is always focused on this. I don't want you to fall away. I don't want you to drift away. And so he continues to remind them, have faith in the hope that is coming, that which is eternal, the possession, the reward. And the writer throughout Hebrews, he always talks about a city. He talks about coming to a mountain that we can touch, not like those who came to Moses when he was on the mountain that couldn't touch the mountain. He says, we're coming into the presence of God. We've come to Zion. We've come to a festal gathering of angels. That's the way that the writer of Hebrews pictures eternity and something that we look forward to in Hebrews chapter 12. You can go over there and read that. That we have a kingdom that is unshakable, that will never disappear. We want those details. And when I read about the city, the Bible says we will have a city. I know a lot of people think when I die, my spirit ghost is going to rise. It maybe one day at the resurrection will get a ghost body and I'll just float around somewhere on clouds. That's not what the Bible teaches as far as eternal life. It's not the idea of ghosts. It's something more than that. And it's supernatural, and I encourage you to read more about it. Go to 1 Corinthians 15 and study that chapter thoroughly. We need to have a specific idea. So when God says we look forward to a heavenly country where there's a city, it is real. And the Bible treats it as it's real. And that's our reward and blessing, something we need to think about. He says, but we are not of those who shrink back, who are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. We want to be preserved. Now look here, here's our exposition this morning from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. So if you have your Bible, open it up, look at Hebrews chapter 11. You know it as the faith chapter. You remember the scripture? It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And I was looking at that, and this week, looking at it in the Greek text, and I think I would better translate it, it's the substance, the nature, the essence of what we are hoping for. For me to have hope, I've got to believe. And so these are some observations I draw before we read it. Let's look at it. It's the substance of things hoped for. Yet in Hebrews chapter 1, the same word is used in verse 3, that Christ is the exact imprint of God's nature. And the word nature, substance, essence is the same thing. So in the same way, we're looking at the substance. What is it that I hope for? And when we think about what we're hoping for, it needs to, for us, be reality. It needs to be real. There's a nature to it. There's an imprint. There's something that I want this because God's giving it to me, and he knows that I can accept it. And if I would just follow him by faith, so it's the faith is the substance of things hoped for. I can say I have faith, I believe in God, but the Bible says you got to also believe this. Not only the faith that pleases God is not just one that believes that he exists, but believes that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. He says, then there's a certainty here, a certainty of things not seen. When I think about Jesus being raised from the dead, I believe it 100%. There's not a doubt within me. And I don't doubt that one day that there will be a resurrection, that we will have a heavenly country that we will inherit and a city there. I believe that every part of my heart. And it's because of what Christ had done, because he had come to life, to eternal life, rising from the dead. And then we see this. He says that faith is the testimony. And throughout the whole faith chapter right here, we have all the heroes of the faith that's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Every one of them, he starts talking about the details that God testifies by them, that God says, this is my follower. This is one who's going to have eternal life because they believe in me. And so I've got to really believe that God is there and that he is a rewarder and be obedient to him. And God testifies that we are of him. Our faith tells a lot about who we are. Notice this as well. Knowing that the spoken word of God created the ages. Now, most translations will say the universe or the world or worlds. The Greek word there is ages, meaning all the ages of time throughout this world, God has created them. He's still a part of it. His word still upholds it. And the word that's used here for word of God means the spoken word, that God spoke it into creation. And if it's God who has spoken it into creation and he's made us from dust and we are made in his image, what do we think about that day of the resurrection? We're going to be made like him. We're going to be glorified. Philippians chapter 3, 20 and 21 says, we will have a glorified body. We'll put off the natural Sukkos body that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15 and put on the spiritual body. The Greek word is pneumatikos. There's a change there and a wonderful thing that we should look for. It's a part of our faith. So how is faith the substance of things hoped for? Again, this is what we have certainty in. It's what we're looking forward to, that reward that God promises to us. And what we hope to continue in the future, it originates, what that substance originates in what we believe right now. So I might be wondering this morning, how can this message help me to change my life? Well, I'm going to read the scriptures. I want to know what God is promising to give to me. And when I do, it changes me. It changes who I am, the way that I live, and everything about me. So I look forward to that day when Jesus comes as Lord. And then there's the resurrection, the rising of the dead, when those who have died come from the graves. God testifies that each person is righteous by faith. That's what the scriptures say, that God imputes righteousness upon us when we really believe and we conform by faith to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and we rise up into the newness of life. And it is in this testifying in Hebrews chapter 11 that God commends each person as righteous by the demonstration of their faith. I want to share one more point before we read again that passage, but think about this. Do you have the faith that God commends? Do you have the faith that God commends? Look with me right here in Hebrews 11. I told you to get your Bibles out. Let's look at that. 1-7. And now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old, or the elders of old, received their commendation from God. By faith, we understand that the universe or the ages were created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts, or that his gifts were acceptable and pleasing to God. And it says this, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. So Abel's an example. And then he says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And the writer goes on to say, because he pleased God, evidently he has faith. Look at verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's impossible to please God unless I believe and I trust in him. It says, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And then the writer says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. And by this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Righteousness comes by faith. And so as we look at the examples of faith in every one of these men, the writer goes on to say, look at Abraham. He looked for a country to come. He looked for a city to come. As we think about Abel, his worship was affected by his faith. He presented gifts that were acceptable to God. Enoch, the way that he lived and walked with God was that he did something that was pleasing to God, just like Abel. We look at Noah, who by faith built the ark. And he did it because God told him that the flood was coming. He believed, and that was the faith that God counted as righteousness that saved him. And Abraham as well, his faith demonstrates the same. And we can go through the list in the book of Hebrews and see that. So what are the examples of God commending faith? Here they are again. Abel offered a better sacrifice. Enoch pleased God, demonstrating his faith. Noah obeyed and built the ark. And Abraham obeyed and went to live in a land of promise because God told him to go, he went. When in our focus, eternal life is before us and we see that there's a city, a heavenly country coming, that we will be glorified and that our bodies will be transformed on that last day, that changes what we do. It changes what we believe. It changes how we study the Bible, how we serve others, how we love others. I encourage you this morning to think about this. Make sure you have a faith that God would commend. Before we start to conclude this morning, I want you to look at this. Romans chapter 10, What is the word of God that we believe? Paul says this in Romans 10, 8 through 10. But what does it say? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That's where God's word must be. That is the word of faith that we proclaim, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you really believe that. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And where does that faith come from? We know it comes from the word of Christ. Romans 10, 17, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. And back there again in Romans 10, and you can look at the passage, he says, because that word, not only did you hear it, but it was in your heart. It was planted there. Hebrews 11, verse 6, let me emphasize this morning. I was thinking about what was the clearest declaration of my whole message, what I'm trying to give you this morning. Here it is, just in a verse. Hebrews 11, verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please him. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Let's change our focus if we need to. We need to make changes in our life. Let's think about the rewards, the blessings that come from God, how much he loves those who are faithful and obedient to him. Faith shapes what Christians look forward to receiving. It shapes us. I encourage you this morning to think more about that, to think about what you believe in, and think about the hope of the faithful. How it is specific that Abraham didn't say, well, God's going to give me eternal life, or when I die, God's going to work it out. I don't need to know the details. It was more than that. He hoped for a heavenly country and a city. He looked forward to it. He knew about it. And the scriptures indicate that those who were faithful to God knew a lot about their salvation and what they were coming to. This is what it says in Hebrews 11, 9 through 10 about Abraham's faith. By faith, he went into a land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Why would you do that? Why would you endure those things? Why would you go live in a strange land and leave everything you've ever known behind? It says, before he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Can we say that? That we're doing that? I look forward to that. Look at Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised to them. And that was the whole list we've been looking at this morning, from Abel down to Abraham. And having seen them and greeted them from afar and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Do you think of yourself that way? I'm an exile here. I have not come to my home. I'm just a pilgrim in this land traveling. For people who speak thus make it clear they are seeking a homeland. And if you're a Christian, you're following God with a commendable faith, this is what you'll say. I believe that God has a place prepared for me, a country, a city, a homeland. That's what I look forward to. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. I want to read more about it. I want to study more about it. There's much more in Scripture to see. And I hope that we will open our eyes and look for that and see the blessing in it. I need to know more about that reward. The Christian's faith leads them to a real hope in a city built by God. And a part of that hope, Hebrews chapter 11 talks about it and says that one day we will rise again, resurrected, to that which is better, a better life. Hebrews 11 and verse 35. Back in the context is people who died as martyrs, who suffered and endured great pains because they believed that one day they would rise again. I hope our focus is in the right place. I hope that you have one hope. The Bible says there is one hope. People will talk about hope and throw the word around a lot, but as Christians, there is one hope, Ephesians 4 and verse 4. And that hope is Jesus Christ and everything that comes through him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16, it says that hope is when Christ comes back, that we look forward to it. We look forward to the reward, and we look forward to the spirits being united with the bodies and resurrected. It says the dead in Christ will resurrect first. That's what we look forward to. This morning, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, do it. Do what we read today in Romans chapter 10. Believe, confess your faith, and then be buried in the waters of baptism, having put off the old man, having repented, you're buried and you rise in the newness of life. That from baptism is when life, newness of life begins. You can start it now with that hope, with that future. And you can have all your sins washed away, Colossians 2 and verse 13, by being baptized and rising up into the newness of life. This morning you need prayers, you need encouragement. If you've been distracted, if you felt like you've been on the verge of falling away and leaving the faith, restore your faith with hope, knowing that God can give you a wonderful, and He will give you a wonderful reward if you simply follow Him and give your heart completely to Him. We encourage you this morning, whatever your needs may be, please come now while we stand and while we sing. Please come.